Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Really simple word this morning. Could take 5 minutes. Could take a bit longer. Okay, Luke chapter 8. Very known parable that we're going to look at this morning. There's obviously lots of miracles going on around Jesus' life, but in that context, verse 4, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. Everybody say 100 times.
100 times.
And then say, that's me.
That's me. Come on.
Look at somebody else and say, that's you.
That's you.
But it's me.
And it's me.
100 times. When he said this, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. His disciple asked him what this parable meant. And then he said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. This is the meaning of this parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart. Everybody say noble,
noble.
And good heart.
And good
heart. Say, that's me.
That's
you.
That's you.
sounds like year three at school, doesn't it? These are the people who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Now, we often use this in relation to evangelistic outreach and evangelism, but actually this parable implies this is the growth of a believer. Yes, it is about whether somebody responds to the gospel, but it is also about growing as a person and the responsibility that we have in terms of keeping our hearts in a place where, as we saw for the fourth scenario here, that the seed actually lands on good soil or a good heart, where then that seed is cultivated and it begins to grow for various reasons, because the person with this heart actually cultivates a noble and good heart. How do you do that? By hearing the word, by retaining it, and then by persevering in the word. Now, this is quite simple what we're going to look at this morning, because we're just going to pray after this. In a few minutes, Jesus is speaking here about four types of ground of people's hearts. Now, we know this parable pretty well. And one of the things that God spoke to us about the other day when we were in the VIP was three things: that we prepare in prayer, we sow in faith, and then we reap with joy. Now, that happens in our lives. That's not just about seeing people saved, although it is, you know, really a part of that process, okay? Now, when we kind of take this parable, we want to move in our own lives, or we want to make sure that we have that good heart, but we want to be somebody that is helping others also to move along in their journey with God, because for me, this describes a growth or a development in a believer's life. It also describes the kind of heart that can receive the word and then what happens with the word in that type of heart. So when we are praying for people, what we're doing is we're moving them and we're praying for them to see their hearts change from being what at the beginning is a very hard heart that cannot receive the word, where the word seems to just bounce off. And then there's a journey that seems to take place in somebody's life where their heart then is ready to receive the word, and that word is then going to produce 30, 60 and 100 times in their life. Now, that's the kind of soil that we want to be sowing the seed into. I don't know about you guys, but I don't just want to be a farmer that just scatters loads of seed. Now, we heard the other week in terms of preaching the gospel that it's not our responsibility to save people. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That our job is to sow the word, is just to get the word out there. How many of you want to be effective in your harvesting, though? So a good farmer is not just going to look at his field and say, oh, well, it doesn't matter what the state of the field's like, I'm just going to go and sow anyway. Because he's spent money on that seed. It's cost him something, right? Yeah. If you're cultivating the seed, the word, the life of God in you, that costs you something. Well, hopefully, you know, there's a challenge to your flesh, because sometimes your flesh doesn't want to pray, doesn't want to get into the word, doesn't want to, you know. But your spirit is like, yes, you know, I want to live in the right way. I want to live right. I want to live pure. I want to walk with God. I want to, you know. So your spirit is really alive and on fire because you've got the Holy Spirit in there. But your flesh is shouting the opposite, saying, no, don't do that. Don't lay your life down. Don't, you know, live in that way. Don't give yourself to God, because ultimately it's going to, you know, just enjoy. Feed me, feed me, feed me. And your spirit on the other side is saying, no, feed me, feed me, feed me. Because if you feed me, it's going to lead to a life of fruitfulness and effectiveness, right? So there's a responsibility that we have to keep our hearts in that place. But what we want to do when we pray is we want to help move people from stony or hard ground to stony to thorny to good soil, right? Now, if you're cultivating that in your own life, you want to see that in other people's lives. So when we pray, what we're doing is we're preparing the ground of people's lives. We're preparing the hearts of other people. And I don't know, there's various people that Jane and I, we're praying for at the moment, and some of them are harder than others. And so when we're praying, we're hitting certain things in prayer in a certain way for certain people's lives because they seem more resistant. And if we sow the word at this point in their life, you know, we want to see them saved. But if we sow the word, the gospel at this point in their life, the reaction is a little bit like that. It kind of seems to just bounce off. And you might say, well, just sow the word anyway and let the Holy Spirit work. And actually, it's like, no, I want to produce a crop 30, 60 and 100 fold through my life. So I'm not going to sow the seed in somebody's life who seems to be very resistant, quite hard at the moment. So there's a work I need to do in prayer that breaks down that hardness and that resistance so that there's an opportunity then at the right time to sow the word into their life. Because when I sow it, I want to produce a good harvest. I want to see a good crop in their life. So as a farmer, we're all farmers this morning. As farmers, we want to look over the field of our life. We want to look over the lives of those that are in the field of our life. And we want to make sure that we're cultivating the ground of the hearts of people's lives so that what we're sowing through our lives is actually going to land on good soil, on hearts that are ready so that they produce a good crop. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
Okay, so that means sometimes a little bit of work. If you're going to clear your garden and sort the ground out, you know you can rent a crowd and get people in to do it for you. But at the same time, some work's got to be done. Ground does not clear itself. You have to dig it. You have to de-weed it, de-thorn it, de-stone it. And down the end of our garden, when we did all of that, there were all kinds of things in the end of the garden. Broken, every fork we seemed to put in the ground and shovel up came up with broken glass. And you're like, how much broken glass can you have underneath the soil at the end of your garden? But it took ages, you know, to just take all those bits of glass out that are going to affect things, stones, thorns, whatever. We found little bits of car parts and all sorts of things under the soil. And I'm like, how do you get car parts, bits of engines and all of that under your soil right down the end of your garden? I don't know. But what were we doing? We were making sure that the soil was completely free of anything that could affect the kind of harvest that we wanted to have in terms of what we were going to, seeds we were going to put, the kind of crops we wanted to have. So it's like decorating, isn't it? All the work is in the preparation. And I don't know, but it's like when one house we moved into, we had to decorate the whole house. It had no carpets. The place was a bit of a mess, you know. We got it for a good price. And my wife, her brother, my brother-in-law, has done quite a lot of decorating. And so he said, well, why don't I come and stay at the house and I'll oversee all the kind of stuff for 2 weeks and we'll do the whole thing in 2 weeks. I'm like, yeah, brilliant. So so he kind of stayed in the house before we moved in to the house. And so he stayed in the house and we were going to decorate the whole place, everything, windows, walls, the lot. And so we spent, we had 14 days to do this before we were going to move in. We spent 10 days preparing. Sounds like the book of Acts, doesn't it? Yeah. Before the Holy Spirit came. We spent 10 days preparing and rubbing walls down, refilling, rubbing it down, refilling. And after about 5 days, my wife was like, when can we just paint the walls? Right? And her brother was like, not yet, they're not ready yet. Because if you paint it, you're going to have a little mark there. It's not going to be quite smooth there. And you'll look at it and go, why don't we just spend a bit more time preparing it? So it'd be fine. So other people were coming in and helping us, you know, in evenings and whatnot. And they were like, can we just paint now? And he was like, no. And they're like, can we just paint? No. And it was, you know, even me, I was getting to the point where it was like, oh, come on. I mean, how smooth can you get that wall over there, you know? And he said, it will take us 1 day to paint the whole house. With the amount of people that were offering to help. 1 day. He said, we'll do the first coat in the morning all around the whole house. We'll leave it for a few hours and we'll do the second coat later in the afternoon. And in 1 day, the whole house will be painted. And I'm standing there going, there's 3 floors. There's a lot of rooms. There's a, you know, what? We're going to paint it in 1 day? Yeah, 1 day. He said, all the work is in the prep. So I'm like, okay. And so we went, okay. So on day 12... it was rollers and blitz in the place. And the whole place was painted in 1 day, from top to bottom, in terms of all the walls and everything else. And the finished job was like, we were really kind of like, wow, it looks great. It looks brilliant. And all the walls were smooth as anything. The whole thing looked great. Then the carpets came in the next day. And when the carpets kind of rolled in, you know, and it was like, wow, this looks brand new, this place. Now, that's what God wants to do in other people's lives through your life. So that when you look at their lives, you're like, wow, you are a brand new person. Because you know what it's like? If you rush the prep, you paint the walls, and then you're like, actually, there's a glitch over there, and there's a thing that we didn't smooth that, and there's a lump there. And sometimes we wallpaper over the cracks, over the problems. If we just wallpaper it, nobody's ever going to know. You know, and we just stick the wallpaper up and it'll look brilliant. And how many of you know when you put wallpaper over stuff, the lumps start showing through, the air bubbles begin to come up, the cracks do begin to affect it. And you can never cover up, you can't cover up stuff. It will begin to show at one point. And so in terms of what we do in prayer and in the Spirit, we all wrote people's names down Sunday morning. Some of us wrote people's names down Friday night. And we put a wall, a prayer wall up for people to be saved. And we want the Holy Spirit to do what He does to bring them right through so that people become brand new people. It's a lot easier doing the prep work and then there's a real conviction and a real like repentance and faith. So that it's like, wow, that was worth the prayer. It was worth the prep. It was worth the time. It was worth giving, you know, ourselves because they are a brand new person. Rather than rushing somebody and then finding afterwards you're dealing with all kinds of cracks and lumps and things because we tried to rush them in or their hearts were not really ready yet. And we were like, come on, give your life to Jesus. Rather than them saying, actually, what do I need to do to give my life to the Lord? What do I, you know? And actually, that kind of cry comes from what happens in the spirit. as you and me pray for people individually and then together as a body of people. So we want to see people not just birthed with a hard heart and then they stay for a bit and fall away, or with thorny ground where the things of life begin to, the reality after 2 or 3 weeks of a honeymoon of feeling like their life's changed, but the reality of their life begins to come through because, one, we never really dealt with that in prayer, and two, in terms of explaining the gospel and really leading through to Christ, we didn't really lay it on the line as to what this really meant. So we're going to spend a few minutes praying in a moment. And then we're going to see, as a result of this morning, some of the people that we've been praying for. There are some people that are ready on that board, ready on that wall for salvation. There are others that need a bit more prayer, a bit more breakthrough. And so we're going to pray into some things, and all of us got some stuff from the Lord the other day, whether it's scriptures, prophetic words, or insight, whatever he gave us for praying for the people. How many of you have, I won't ask you to put your hands up, but since Friday, how many of you have been praying for the people on your prayer wall? How many since Sunday have been praying for the people on your prayer wall? So this is not, if we haven't, you know, today's your day to start, because what we don't want to do is that prayer will become an event. Well, that was great for the VIP, wasn't it? I wonder when we're going to pray for them again. Or Sunday morning, that was good to put on the board. It was nice to do that for Sunday, but I wonder when we're going to... No, that's a trigger point for us to go, right, daily, I'm going to hit this in prayer. Because God has put something in my heart, in my spirit, for this relative, for this friend, for their household and everything. And so I'm going to see the truth of what Jesus talked about in this parable happen in these people's lives. I'm going to see them move from maybe being hard hearts to stony to thorny to good soil, so that they come right through and become brand new people. So you ready?
Yeah.
But let's have a look just what it says at the end of this parable. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a good crop. How many of you are after a good crop? Something that hit me the other day, and it was partly from reading a book that I've been reading, saying that in this parable, Jesus can take a seed and multiply it. In the natural, one seed produces one plant. Yet when God, when his hand's on something, he can take the seed of your life and multiply it in an exponential way in terms of fruitfulness. And that 30, 60, 100-fold, I don't know about you, but that's where, for me, it's like, right, speaking that over your life, speaking that over my life, it's like, Father, I thank you for appointing me to bear fruit and fruit that's going to remain. Thank you, Father, for 30-fold fruit. Thank you, but then I'm going to move to 60-fold, then to 100-fold. I think that's a little bit of a journey as well. Sometimes we say, oh, I'm just going to go for 100-fold. Well, I think this parable talks about a journey. It talks about maturing. It talks about growing. And I think as we grow as believers, that the fruit begins to multiply. But the minimum God's looking for and saying, hey, your life can be multiplied 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. So it's like, well, let's start and go for 30 first of all. Because we'd all love to go, oh, 100-fold. I'd love to see 100 people saved and added through my life. Or 100 people affected through my life. Well, let's measure some stuff and say, well, let's go for 30 first of all and have a good measure. Your faith get encouraged. You begin to mature. You grow. You see things happen. Right, I'm going for 60 now. I'm going to see a mop. Because also God can multiply the fruitfulness of your life through those that you're affecting. So it's not just you directly affecting 30 people. What does Paul say when we looked at this on Sunday, 2 Timothy 2, verse 2? Paul invested in Timothy. Timothy then into reliable men. There's a multiplication of that, and then into reliable others. But Paul was also investing into a number of other guys as well as Timothy, and they were all doing the same as Timothy, investing into other reliable men who also invested in others. So from Paul's life, he wasn't just directly affecting 5, 6, 10, 20, 30 people. He was then being effective through those people that he was affecting. So there was a multiplication out into other people's lives. So if we're thinking here, right, I want to invest into somebody else. I want to pray for them, see them come right through to salvation. And then what can God do through their life that then affects somebody else's life? So there's a multiplying. So it's not who you can just directly impact yourself, but who can be impacted through your life as a result of what you invest into them. So there's a multiplication that takes place. So let's stand to our feet. Short keynote. None of you can believe it. I would say on the whole, in this room, our hearts are good soil. Would you say that?
Yes.
I don't think we got hard hearts in here. I don't think we got stony hearts in here. I don't think we've got thorny hearts in here. I think we've got, you know, good soil. But how many of you know, though, that in good soil, there are weeds that like to try and reappear? So when you de-weed, you do it from the root, don't you? But, you know, there are certain plants in the garden that creep. You know, so you clear the ground and a little while later, it's like, wow, when did that appear? And things can seem to creep across. We've got down the one side of our garden at the end of it, we've got, I don't know what you call it, but it's constantly creeping across. And one of the things we're constantly doing is you have to keep, you know, making sure that it doesn't start creeping across or underneath, you know, the your vegetable patch or whatever you're doing. And so you have to keep it at bay so that we keep the soil good. And that's what the word says here, that the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a good crop. So there's a keeping your heart free from stuff, keeping your mind and your heart and your attitude free from stuff so that there's a good crop that is produced through our lives. So let's just take a couple of minutes, okay, before we pray for some people. Take a couple of minutes and just make sure your heart is clear. Your heart doesn't go from being good to hard in a moment. So I don't think people have got hard hearts in here today, but there can be a few little thorns that try and appear, because there can be a reverse effect to having a good heart. If we don't look after our hearts, there's a reverse effect that begins to happen, because the enemy is always out to steal, kill and destroy. He's always out to sow negative. And if we don't keep our hearts clean and pure, then they can become a little bit thorny. The next thing, they become a little bit stony. And the next thing, before we know what's going on, there is a bit of hardness that seems to have... And I don't think that's what our hearts are like in here. Our hearts are like, God, I want to live in the right way, move in the right direction. I want to live in the right way. So it's just keeping that soil clear of bits and pieces that would like to creep and surface in different ways. So just surrender your life afresh this morning. Just thank the Lord for what he has done in your heart, that he's given you a totally new heart. Thank him that you haven't got an old heart, a hard heart any longer, but you've got a heart that is pliable, is on the potter's wheel, shapeable, open, available. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you know there has been any fallouts with anybody, any issues, or you got upset about something, doesn't matter what it is, just uproot that now, as it were. Just make sure the soil of your heart, the ground of your heart, is just clear from anything like that. Could be something practical. You might be under pressure financially and worry or fear of how you're going to get that sorted is trying to just niggle away. Just uproot that right now. So I'm not having fear robbing me of anything. I'm not having any worry that's going to distract from what God is doing in my life. So I just uproot that right now. I'm not a person of worry. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but he's given me a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. So I thank you, Father, for that sound mind right now, right thinking. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that I have the spirit of faith this morning. So I thank you that you take care of every one of my needs. I don't have to worry about them. I thank you that you supply all my needs according to your glorious riches in Christ. So I thank you, Father, that I can keep the ground of my heart good soil in terms of faith and trust in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, the Bible talks about persevering to produce a crop. Your faith is the thing that enables you to endure, to push through, to keep going. And it talks about those who effectively feed on the word. They hear the word, they feed on the word and retain it. They work with the word. So there's a working with the word in our lives that will then produce a good crop. A good crop, what does that mean in our own personal lives? It means a good attitude. It means right thinking. It means quick to forgive. It means being gentle of heart. It means being gracious. It means showing mercy. It means being a person of hospitality. It means being generous. It means being a person of encouragement. That's what a good heart is. That's what the persevering is. As you hear the word, you then work with it, retain it. You work with the word in your life. So the environment of your heart, the field of your heart, is the environment that you work with the word in, so that that word produces the character, the nature of Christ in you. So you're working with that word, with the nature and the character of Christ, his word. So it produces a good crop, good attitude, a good heart, good actions. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then from the soil, if you like, of your heart, from the ground of your heart, then when we begin to pray, we're praying from good soil in our own hearts. We're praying from a good environment, if you like. We're praying from a good attitude. We're praying from a good heart in our own lives. That when we're praying for people, whether saved or unsaved, we're not praying with our own motives or our own agenda. We're praying from a good soil, with God's heart, with God's motive. We're praying with his mind, his understanding. We're praying with his compassion. We're praying with his heart for whoever it is, whether saved or unsaved. So, Father, I thank you for the ground of our hearts, Father, being good soil that you have worked in. You've debugged, you've dethorned, destoned. We thank you, Father, for that rich soil of your life that is in us right now. We thank you from that rich soil. We can begin to pray for those that we put on the prayer wall, those households, those families, those individuals, those situations. Father, we thank you. We praise your awesome name.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.